Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
On this episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, it's not about the destination, but all about the journey. So today we're discussing travel journeys and how our travel styles have evolved during them. Now, everyone is always starting out their own travel journey at different times in their lives and in different travel styles. So we are going to talk about this and how we can be supportive as a travel community for everyone along their journey, wherever they may be on that path. Morning. I'm on the morning shift today. Steph?
You're always on the morning shift, though.
Morning, though. Like, proper morning. Steph's on the evening shift. Steph, how's it going?
Hello from Melbourne. I'm back from Dubai. I have been full swing. Australian Open is taking over my life.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe tell everyone that doesn't know what you're doing at the Australian Open.
Oh, I'm just working for two different brands on their activations at the Australian Open. So it's been pretty full on because when I'm not doing one, I'm doing the other. I'm working 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. most days. It's just wild.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You love tennis. Steph is a big tennis buff.
I was never, never a tennis fan. And Australia has turned me into one. It's wild.
It's like as if people, if they move to Canada, there's no way that you can't turn into a hockey buff. Like, you just are immersed in it during hockey season. And I would imagine tennis is kind of the same over there.
Well, and that's why Canada is absolutely garbage at most summer sports.
Yeah, true.
I just never paid attention to it while I was there. And I didn't even realize it was such a big sport. And now I have been on this journey in my time in Australia from totally indifferent to tennis to like right into it. I'm all in.
I love it. I went to Wimbledon a couple years ago in London, and same, I don't really follow sports in general. Let's be honest. I barely followed hockey when I did still live in Canada, even though I worked at a hockey radio station. Still to this day, I laugh at how I ever got that job. But Wimbledon is just a good sports vibe. That's super fun. On my side, I've booked a trip away in a couple weeks. I'm currently experiencing that like January drought right now, where everything's just miserable in London. I say that today, actually, the sun has made an appearance. We have had like horrible gray, wet weather, as you can imagine, winter in the UK. So I thought, well, I need to get away somewhere. So I'm gonna go to Athens. In Greece.
Oh, that's
in a couple
so
weeks.
Good.
Yeah.
And you haven't been before, have you?
No, I've been to Greece. I've been to the Greek islands a few times, different islands, which, you know, can't go wrong. But I've never been to Athens. When I first moved over to London, I wanted to go to Athens, but at the time it was actually really unsafe to go to Athens. Like, I had friends that went, you know, probably like 10 years ago now. And they said they were like walking down the street and people were trying to just like full on rob them. It was just way too unsafe to go. So I just never went in all the years I've lived here. And then now everyone says it's a lot better. And yeah, I love a good city break in Europe. And Athens this time of year, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not super hot, but it's definitely warmer. There's definitely more sun. So
Yeah, lovely.
Gonna do a cheeky little 4 days away. So if anyone's been to Athens, can give me any recommendations. I mean, there's the obvious things to do, like see Acropolis, all that. But if there's any must-sees, must-dos, give me tips.
Can you do something for me?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why, but back when they had the riots and the protest in Athens, there was, in the news, it was talking about how the people of Greece were storming the Acropolis.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, man, that sounds so cool. Like, I wish when I got mad, I could just storm the Acropolis. Can you please get an angry photo of you just like stomping into it? That would make okay. me so happy.
I thought you were going to tell me to storm Acropolis.
No, I just want you like stomping into it like you're super pissed off.
Maybe. I don't know if I am brave enough as a solo traveler to get someone to take a video of me doing that, but we'll see.
You don't want to be that traveler who like takes a tripod, sets it up, tests it, walks towards it, and then walks away as if it's natural?
Definitely not. Which is kind of funny based on what we're going to talk about today. Because yeah, true. I'm sorry. I 1000% judge people for that. But like, not really. I judge them in the way that I'm like, I'm not confident enough to do that myself. You see people making all these like TikTok videos where they do that, where it's obvious that they've set the tripod up. They've taken time to set it up, take a video, move it to another spot, take another like 5 second video, and you're like, oh god, I just don't have the time for that. And I mean, I feel like it's a very Gen Z thing, but it kind of ties into what we're talking about today, and maybe we can take some of our own advice.
I mean, I think that's part of giving advice, is usually when you give it, is you're also someone who needs it the most.
Totally. It's a practice what you preach, which is always difficult. But yeah, Steph, why don't you tee up what we're gonna talk about today?
Yeah. So, okay, I'll preface this with, we're going to be talking about how everyone's on their own travel journey. And I really got into this and just the concept of this because when I started traveling, I was 26, really. I had done some like little trips and my parents would take me. So I was really traveling for the first time on my own after like a really long-term relationship. And I remember going into it and, you know, you and I, we were going to Europe and we were doing these things, and there's always this voice in my head that thought I was maybe too old to be starting to do that, because you hear about all these kids essentially who do it as their gap year, mm-hmm. and suddenly I'm, you know, a 26-year-old woman going and doing it. And some of the things I've learned along the way, where it's like you just have to come to this place where you realize, like even right now, there's kids who are just starting their gap year. Right now, as we're recording this, there's someone in their mid-20s, mid-30s traveling for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is on their own journey, and it can become very easy to convince yourself that everyone has the same experience you do once you're doing it more. And, like, even we talked about it in last week's episode, you go to the hostel and, you know, there's some people, like, crinkling their bags and doing all the shit, and you're like, what is wrong with you? And it's like, they don't know yet.
They don't know any better.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think that's that's a good point. I also think, you know, I think in the travel community, if you will, I think when I started traveling, you know, I didn't even realize there really was this travel community. But what I kind of found when I was seeking out, whether it was podcasts or whether it was like forums online to learn about their experiences, I did find it a little bit pretentious. And for me, I kind of felt the same way where, you know, I thought maybe I am too old to be doing this. Like, I don't know, you just feel like if you're not very well traveled in this travel community, that like maybe it's not for you. Maybe you're not, I guess, allowed to have those same experiences. And I think that's, you know, even Steph and I doing this podcast, like this is part of the reason we wanted to do this podcast. We wanted it to be the total opposite of exclusive and pretentious. We wanted everyone, no matter where you are on your travel journey, to feel like you can learn something, what we kind of talk about. And, you know, yeah, you talk about travel journeys. Like, I was kind of the same. I didn't get my first passport until I was 23, 24. Which a lot of people would think that's really late, especially for someone that has traveled a lot now and does a travel podcast. So yeah, I feel like I maybe started that travel journey, quote unquote, late. But I think we've said this before in previous episodes too. Like, you know, when you're 24, 25, you think you are too old, which is crazy. Because now as someone that's 38, I think, oh my God, I was so young at 20, 25. And, you know, I always say now think when you're, you know, going to be 60 years old one day, you're going to think back when you were 35 or 45 even and be like,
this is true.
So I think that's one of the first things, like, again, and we've said it before, but age should never deter anyone from traveling.
Right.
And any way you want to travel as well, you know. I think one of the things that kind of comes to mind, I used to, and I'll hold my hands up, like when I stayed in a hostel when I was in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
whenever I would meet like older people staying in a hostel, like in their 40s or 50s that were traveling solo, I was a bit judgmental. I'm like, why are they staying here? And now that I'm older, I get it. Like some people, that's how they want to travel. It's not, you know, staying in a hostel is, there is no age restriction, whether young or old. Well, age, well, there probably is. You probably have to be 18 to stay in most, but you know what I'm saying. And that's just one example of, you know, that 45-year-old or 55-year-old man or woman, maybe that is their first trip away. Maybe they are on a budget. Maybe they've just saved up enough money to finally book a flight abroad somewhere. And all they can afford is like a 20-person hostel dorm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the things I kind of think back sometimes and how I was even, yeah, I think when you are in your 20s, you are just a lot more judgmental. In general.
Yeah. One thing I found is the judgment on even the places you're going to. So for example, 2015, when I did my backpacking trip around the world for a year, I went to South America for a few months, Africa for a bit, and then throughout Asia. And it was everywhere. So while I was in South America, everyone, obviously, I was doing an around the world trip. There were tons of people who were doing, you know, specifically 6 months to a year just in South America. And they were all like, oh, you're only going here. You're not going to this while you're in South America. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, you'd think doing a year around the world, you're going to do so much. But people still make you feel like you're not doing enough. And the exact same thing in Africa. I remember sitting there one day. I was out on an excursion. And someone said, oh, you know, I just wouldn't want to be one of those people who come to Africa and just go to South Africa and Tanzania and Egypt. And I'm like... sick, thanks. That's exactly that's what I've gone. And it's just so absurd that, you know, we can get up, like, all those people were kind of up their own asses about what they were doing. Because something about them needed to feel like they were doing something deeper than everyone else.
Yeah. And I think we touch on that a lot. We did an episode a while ago now on travel snobbery, which I think ties into that a lot. But, you know, I think it's important to remember, and I've stopped doing this now because I know that I used to do that a lot. And I think in my travel journey, when I started to kind of branch out and travel to more places abroad, especially when I was solo traveling, there was an element of me where I did think, like, I'm the shit. Like, look at me. I've been here. I've done this. I've done this. Like, I'm an expert at this. And when people would tell me, like, oh, I'm going here. I'm going here. That's exactly what I would do. I'd go, but why aren't, if you're going to go all the way there, you should go here. I think it's crazy that you're not going here. Thailand was a great example when I know a couple of people that they went to Thailand and they said, oh, we're going to Bangkok, Chiang Mai. I'm like, why aren't you going to the islands? You need to go to the islands because we don't want to go to the islands. Oh, well, you know, what a waste of time it's going to be. And I think back to that, I'm like, who the hell was I to be judging these people that had never gone that far in a plane? Like, they had only, I think, traveled within, I think it was like North America. Like, same. They barely ever gotten outside of North America. And they're traveling all the way to Thailand. And what they've booked, not the same as how I would have done it on my travel journey. But I probably did make them feel bad, thinking what they were doing wasn't good enough. And now what I do, you know, even though when people tell me, like, they're doing something or going somewhere, in my head, I'll be like, oh, you know, I remember when, if I'd been there before, I remember when I went there, I went to this place, and it was great. But it's not my business to be telling someone else how they should be doing their own journey. And I think there's a way you can make recommendations without making it your journey, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, well, I think big part of it, too, is like often, and this isn't a broader conversation, but are they asking for advice? If they're asking for advice, absolutely, have at her. Go give it to them. If they're not...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Asking for advice, why? That's a good question to ask yourself. Like, why are you feeling like you should be giving it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, how well do you know these people as well? Are they people you know that haven't done a lot of traveling? And in which case, be supportive instead of making them feel like your travel journey isn't as good as mine because I've done more than you. That's shitty. That's not a nice way to feel. You know, we've talked about people going to all-inclusives and that's their style of traveling. And again, to be judgmental about that, I used to do that. But at the same time, I'm like, this person's travel journey, they might be like 20 years old and they're sitting at an all-inclusive. They have still left the country. Whereas when I was 20, I hadn't even left. I hadn't done anything.
I think I was the same about the all-inclusive vibes. I think I've definitely been very judgy and snobby about it. And to tie that in too, and this is one of the most embarrassing parts of my travel journey, is I did the whole... This is so embarrassing. When I started going more places, I really started into the whole, like, tourist versus traveler thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a traveler and you're a tourist. And I remember I had girlfriends, and what made me actually stop doing this was a girlfriend from home who was. She was big into the all-inclusives. That was her getaway with her partner. And one day, she made a post on Facebook, and it was like, I may just be a tourist, but I really love this. And I remember looking at that being like, oh my God, what a dickhead. I'm one of those dickheads who's made someone feel like they have to preface their vacation with a justification.
Yeah.
And that was kind of my eye-opening moment where I was like, oh my God, I need that. I'm an idiot. Like, I'm the asshole here, not her.
Yeah, no, totally. And, like, it's even funny because if you almost flip it. So, like, remember the first time we went to London together? That was one of my first times exploring somewhere in Europe. And I think it was the first time I'd ever traveled with, like, a friend, you know, abroad.
Yeah.
So me and you were there, and we were in London for, like, it was only, like, 3 days. It wasn't that long. The funny part was that we actually saw nothing. Like, we barely saw any of London. I think we went to, like, Camden Town. Did we even see, like, Big Ben and all that? I don't even know. Oh, we did. We did. Maybe we went to Buckingham Palace. But we actually spent, like, one day, because we stayed in a hostel. We partied in that hostel for, like, 24 hours. We met other travelers. We sat on the rooftop just drinking all night. And for me, that was, like, so fun. And I remember when I got back, when I told people that, they were like, you wasted so much time. Like, you could have seen this and you could have seen this. And to me, you know, when you look back, my travel journey had just started then. And to me, being in a hostel, even around people in another country abroad, to me, that was traveling. And I didn't care. And neither did you, Steph. Like, we had, you know, again, when you think back to travel memories, it was so fun.
It was fun. Oh, and I think, too, though, like, even if you think about the whole journey of traveling, like starting as that fresh person in a hostel, I think a lot of the confidence and the realizations that you can do things come from those other people you are partying with and drinking with in the hostel. Mm. And that realization of how awesome it is meeting people from all around the world. And like, so even though you may not see a lot, that's actually a very important part of, you know, your growth as someone who enjoys traveling.
Yeah. You know, I feel like now that I'm getting older, now I'm 38, in my late 30s, I am in my tourist era right now. I don't want to party in hostels. I don't want to wake up hungover when I'm traveling now. I'm like, tell me where to go. Tell me all the stuff to see. Yeah. I am the person now that when I was like 24, people that were giving me their advice were saying, oh, you wasted time that day where you stayed in the hostel all day drinking. No, I didn't. Because I feel like that was part of my journey that then led me to all the traveling I've done now. Because I also know a lot of people that as they get older, they don't travel anymore. It's these same people that are like, I did that all when I was, you know, 22, 23. Good on you.
Yeah.
But I know people that I wouldn't say their travel journeys have ended, but they don't, you know, travel to them is not a priority in life anymore. Whereas I feel like I still make it a priority for me. Yeah. And I think that has to do with the entire journey.
And I think too, I don't think you're just in your tourist era. We're in our like wellness retreat era.
You're right, actually. Now we're on another journey. Like the journey has evolved now.
Yeah. So we've talked about the beginning of our travels a little bit. Mm-hmm. How would you sort of lay out the roadmap of your travel journey? So like when I say that, what I mean basically is like, for me, you know, I started and I was 26 and I was, you know, excited, but unsure if I was too old to be doing that. And then, so after that sort of, you know, hostel party vibe, then I really started going into my like long-term travel era where I just wanted to be on the road for as long as possible. I didn't want to go away for a week. I wanted to be gone for months. And then I went on I feel like I had a couch surfing era. I feel like I've had a house sitting era. I feel like I am just teetering into the retreat era as well. Like there's just so many, obviously, as we grow through life and we grow as people, it's kind of the same with traveling. Like you just become new versions of yourself constantly.
Yeah, you break out of your little layer and you evolve into a new layer. I would say mine looks a little bit different. So I would say it started with no travel. Again, I didn't go. I mean, even with family, we didn't really go anywhere for family vacation. We didn't leave Canada. We didn't go abroad. Like, I know you went to Mexico and I think like Cuba with your family, but we didn't do that. So I went from really no travel at all to all-inclusive. That was my first time away, Dominican Republic. I thought it was great. I thought that's what travel was. And I thought, you know, the rest of my life, that's how I would do travel. So yeah, I went, you know, from all inclusive then did my first European trip with my sister's work. So that wasn't even like a planned trip. It was like she had won a trip at work and I got to be the guest. So it was actually quite a funny experience because it was quite a bougie trip. Mm-hmm. So it was not real life. It was not, I didn't think, I'm like, oh, this is bougie traveling. But I'm like, yeah, this isn't how it's always going to be. And then it went to, well, moving abroad, which that I guess was a big step from barely doing any traveling at all.
Yeah.
To let's move to Europe. Like
we really did.
Yeah. I just took the big leap. And then it was solo travel era. So I did my first solo trip and then it kind of then evolved to solo international. So I started doing bigger trips away. Then it was kind of group trip. So, and I think we're going to do a separate episode on group travel, but I feel like I'm still in the group trip era. I really like booking as a solo person. Booking in groups. So like when I went to India last year, I booked with G Adventures, another trip with them. And then now I'm sort of evolving into remote work trips. So like now that I'm, you know, I can work from home a couple days a week. I'm really trying to tie in like my trip to Athens. I'll be working there For like a day. Last year I went to Spain, worked from there a couple days. So now it's sort of like the remote work travel. And then I'm exploring wellness now, as we talked about in our New Year's resolution episode.
I love it.
And it's funny because you look at that entire journey and it ties in different elements of each layer. Like the solo travel, that's something that's sort of stayed consistent, you know, with my travel style.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because I am single as well. But I've never let it stop me from, you know, I used to be, but again, you know, I did my first solo trip and I didn't think after that I would do a lot of solo travel still. I was like, well, I'll still try to always find a friend or someone to go with. And now it's the opposite. I'm like, if I want to go somewhere, I just book it and go. If someone wants to come with me, they can book it separate. Like, I don't care. I don't care if someone's there with me. So yeah, so it's, you know, I like this whole idea of like a travel journey because you do pick up new ways of traveling. And then as it evolves, they kind of incorporate all together. And I guess at some point you just become the best traveler you can be.
Ooh, I love it.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where we are when we're like 70.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm 70, I'll still be talking about us doing the Camino and we won't have done it yet. And I'll be like, let's get in our walking era.
I mean, what I was going to say, what do you think if you were to predict in 20 years, what your travel journey is going to look like?
Oh,
where are you going to be on that journey?
I could say in 20 years, did you say?
Yeah, 20. You'll okay. be like 60.
Maybe I'll be a millionaire because I'm pretty sure I'm going to win the 200 million Powerball next week. So I'll just be in my rich lady.
Luxury. You'll be
my luxury travel era.
Luxury era.
No, I'll be in my 60s in my like, oh, I just had a vision. I know where my life is going. I am going to be in my cougar era with pool boys.
Oh, I love that.
And I'll literally be like, Francois, bring me that fruit platter, honey.
You'll be in like St. Bart's, you know, like a really rich like French island.
Perfect. I have the vision. It's becoming so clear now that I've said it.
I feel like I'll be there with you. And I feel like at that point, because I feel like when we're in our 50s, that's going to be our luxury travel era. Because bear in mind, Steph and I are single women without children. So we got a lot of disposable income. And in our 50s, that's what we'll be like balling out, booking like expensive hotels with like 5-star service.
I'm having flashes of like us on these like ridiculously sized balconies in like silk robes, just like the wind blowing in the evening over the pyramids or something.
Yes, we'll go back to the pyramids. That's what we should do. Steph and I went to the pyramids years ago where we did stay in a hostel where the roof almost fell onto our faces. So we'll
literally
redo, 'cause
a bomb went off.
Bomb went off. Steph and I we're going to redo that trip in our luxury travel era.
What a different experience.
Like 5-star, And then 60s, we'll tie in the luxury era into the cougar pool boy era. I love it.
I'm here for
right
it.
There with you. And we will still be doing the podcast then, I'm sure. So stay tuned.
I think that's a good spot to end it.
That's it for this episode. And we would love to hear from all of you. Where are you guys in your travel journey?
I think the way I'd really like to end this off too is just reminding everyone, like, we're talking about all these different eras we've been through. You're in whatever one you're in now. And just being really cognizant of the fact that everyone's in a different one at any given time. So we all have things to teach each other. We all have things to learn from each other. Like, God knows us for as much as we think we've done. Like, I constantly meet people who've done so much more than me, who make me feel like I've done nothing. Or it's like you see Gen Z and they're creating amazing content going places where I'm like there's just always so much cool stuff going on that I like to focus on that as opposed to, you know, judging other people for where they're at.
We should all support each other in this travel community because we're all doing it for the same reason, because we just love to travel, whatever that looks like and whatever path that we're on.
Agreed.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next time.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod. Donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.